Well, I'm you whenever it's time to fire up the show. Go!
Okay, I Skype it, I don't yell it.
Go! See, now you realize how rude it sounds.
Okay,
go.
No, you know why I do that? You know why I do that? So you can't see right now, but I have all this stuff in front of my keyboard. I've got like a stand for the microphone and everything. I can't fit my fingers under the desk to the keyboard. And so for me, just doing a quick G-O enter is a lot easier than, hi, Sean, how are you today? How's everything going? Do you think we can start the Skype video now? Easier just to G-O enter.
I'd rather you send a lone exclamation point than go.
Okay, so next time I'll do a period. Period, enter. I'll do that next time.
That's much better. It's less demanding. At least a signal.
I'll do that. I wanted to ask you what your thoughts are on this new Antifa faction, apparently called Retribution. Lots of rumors, like Tommaso Ciampa, Rhea Ripley might be part of it, Gargano.
I don't know who the hell's in it.
I know
that their social media jumped the gun and got some heat with some people because of it. They weren't supposed to do that, but I think it looks...
I mean, isn't that another example of how they are kind of becoming WWE-esque? You got the left hand not talking to the right hand anymore.
I think it looked stupid as fuck. They looked like a bunch of seventh graders that threw some duty on somebody's porch. And TP'd somebody's house. Because let me tell you, buddy, if the thing is to play off the riots, this ain't it, and it's a dumb idea. If you want to cause... So they want to cause mayhem, but the only place they want to cause it is on Raw, not SmackDown or NXT or 205 Live or any shit like that. Tell me how that makes sense. Okay.
What they did is they committed a crime. And how are we supposed to believe that they're going to get their comeuppance by having to get in the ring and wrestle a baby face? Like, how does that make any sense? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, the only thing I will say, you know, if you look at Vince McMahon's history, and I know I picked on Vince McMahon a lot today, but he deserves it. So if you look at Vince McMahon's history, he has a history of creating heels based on real-life events. And you can go as far back as, you know, he pushed the Iron Sheik as a heel in the early 80s to play off the Iran hostage crisis. He pushed Nikolai Volkov as a heel in the mid-80s due to the Cold War. Sergeant Slaughter became an Iraqi sympathizer during the Gulf War in 91. Muhammad Hassan did the heel Muslim-American gimmick when you had terrorists doing beheadings and things like that. Like, he's always taken these real-life events to create characters. And I think there's no question that he probably, because you know he lives in his bubble and doesn't read all the news, but I'm sure he heard about the protests and stuff. And so, oh, there you go. That's what we're going to do. I just don't know how you translate someone doing a blatant criminal act into, well, now we're just going to throw a dropkick at you in the ring. Like, I just don't.
And now we're going to book these people to wrestle after they burned our generator. Yeah.
right.
Fuck.
So, I don't know.
Stupid.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going to go with that, but we'll see. So anybody that thought Pat McAfee, Adam Cole was a shoot and were very, very mean to me on social media for calling it what it was, we're doing this on August 5th. They are advertising for the NXT taping tonight. Pat McAfee scheduled to show up on NXT to address Adam Cole, Sean Rossap.
Well, I've never been mean to you. I think you're a sweetheart of a guy, as they say.
Sweet guy.
A really sweet guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is very clearly a work, and I'm okay with it. I think Adam Cole is good enough. This is the thing I like about people like this. I think Adam Cole is good enough to get something interesting, by the way of a match, out of Pat McAfee. And that's a challenge that I like. It's like, I don't want to say drawing blood from a stone, because Pat McAfee is an athlete.
Yes.
But drawing blood, so to speak, from maybe some gravel, so to speak. Not refined. It ain't a diamond, that's for damn sure. But I think that he probably enjoys that type of challenge, and that's not me speaking for him.
And it's going to be a challenge for Cole, too, and I'm sure that he's up for it as well.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
So you broke news on FIFA Select about draft plans for WWE, so is there going to be a draft, or are they just kind of spitballing as the tapings go on?
That's the plan. They were supposed to be in August, then they moved it back to September, then they moved it back to October, then I've heard it's been moved back and forth a couple times. As of right now, they're planning for October. But guys, when it doesn't happen in October, don't come to me and say, well, Sean, you said October. I said right now. It's already been changed four times. In fact, I heard this in June, Jimmy, and it's been changed three times since then.
Right.
And then as soon as I published the article, that source contacted me and said, by the way, it's in October now. Damn.
Okay. I did not see Talk Shop Mania. I know that you thought it was hilarious. I don't know if it'd be my cup of tea. I don't like the kind of wrestling that makes it hard for me to suspend my disbelief. You know, I like to be able to kind of buy what I'm watching, but
this isn't that.
It sounded like it was just kind of blatant bullshit. But tell me about it.
This is a parody of every shitty indie show I've ever been on in my entire life, like Nature Boy Paul Lee with a 5-minute entrance, them whipping somebody to the ropes and he couldn't stop and he runs like a quarter mile to the lake. The Boner Yard match, it was awesome. Not only that, Carl Anderson and Rocky Romero hit me up and said that they loved my review of the show. How about that?
How viewed was your review? I'm curious about the interest level in this thing.
More than most Raw and SmackDown reviews.
Really?
Yeah, like, okay, so I'll just go based on YouTube. By the way, our podcast was not in the subscription box again this week, so we'll do a whopping 12 views. But Talkin' Shop-a-Mania did about 6.5K, and our show did 5.1 last week. Wednesday Night War, 4.2. It did the same amount of traffic as SmackDown last week.
Good.
Yeah, and we've done some pretty solid numbers for us getting throttled like we are by YouTube. We're doing pretty good.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I want them to be higher, but it is what it
Shit,
is.
Shit, me too.
Yeah, yeah. So you already kind of mentioned this on the main show, but Saraf from Indushare in NXT, he had to apologize for doing something. I can't fathom how his brain did not recognize how stupid that was. This is sometimes when people do things, I try to put myself in their shoes and I try to understand, how did you not think that was a bad idea?
Right. Right. Oh, God. The thing is, like, the people that I talked to said there wasn't significant heat, but they were just like, why would you think that's a good idea type of thing was what I was hearing.
I don't get it. I mean, the one thing I will say is, you know, apparently from what I've heard, there is no disciplinary actions going to be taken against them.
No, they're Matt Bloom's boys. Of course.
Yeah.
Not.
Well, not just that, but you know what I see when I look at Saraf, I see a guy that I could see Vince McMahon thinking he's going to help us break into the Indian market.
Well, that's a thing. The Indian market is not taking to them very well.
Oh, they're not?
No. Not at all.
That's interesting because I looked him up. So obviously he's a big dude. He's like 6'8".
Huge.
He's got a background in kickboxing. He also did television work in India before he came over. And it's kind of funny because they did a live action show called Beam. BHEEM.
Yes.
And he was on that show. There's a cartoon version of Beam on Netflix and my kids love it.
Really?
Yes, and Saraf was on a live-action version in India. And so when I heard about, okay, not only is he big, but he's got a television background in India and he's got a kickboxing background, I thought Vincent Mann is going to look at that guy and say he's going to help me break into that market. So for that reason, I did not expect disciplinary action.
Well, you know who – Rinku is the subject of the Million Dollar Arm. That I think it's the movie.
Yes,
the
I heard
movie.
That too. Yes, that's right.
And that was a money-making movie. Like John Hamm was in it, Bill Paxton. Like it had good cast in it. But yeah, it ain't working. Here's the thing. First off, they're not good. They're not good.
I don't get the paint on the forehead. What's that about?
Hey, you're asking the wrong fella there. But,
yeah, because they wear suits, then they look kind of cool when they wear the suits, but then they got that stupid paint on their forehead.
I'm not going to comment on that because I don't know if it's a cultural thing.
Whatever. Okay. New Japan, they're doing something I find confusing, and I want your opinion on it. So starting this Friday, August 7th, there's going to be a new weekly U.S. show debuting a New Japan World called New Japan Strong. It's going to feature an 8-man single elimination tournament. The winner is going to get a shot at Jon Moxley's IWGP U.S. title. And here's what I find confusing. So they're doing this tournament for the U.S. audience. It's a U.S. television show on New Japan World. Moxley, from what I understand, is not allowed to appear on U.S. television or U.S. soil for New Japan, meaning that whoever wins the tournament in theory cannot challenge Moxley on the show. And if that's the case, why would you do it?
Well, a couple things. One, buy some time until maybe he can travel or something like that. Two, as Tony Khan has said, sometimes one good favor deserves another type of thing. So maybe he's willing to waive that. Quite personally, I wouldn't, while he's AEW champion, I wouldn't waive that, and I wouldn't say, yeah, it's okay for him to lose, unless this goes to, like, a draw, and they do a triple threat, and Moxley is not pinned, and they just get the title off of him that way. If they do it that way, I'd be like, okay, whatever. But I wouldn't have him lose, and I really wouldn't risk him getting hurt either.
Right, right. Okay, well, we'll see where it goes, I guess. Last thing on my list, I want to talk about good old Rusev. And, you know, every now and then I come across his YouTube videos. He is such a likable guy, man.
He is. He really is.
He's such a likable, down-to-earth, funny guy. And every time I see him, I think, man, did Vincent Mann ever fuck up?
They screwed up.
With Rusev. Yeah. I see more money in him, just looking at him on YouTube, I see more money in him than I do Lana.
Yeah, oh, and, yeah. And that ain't easy. Because Lana is money.
And she was the star of the act for quite a while. But anyway, so Rusev on YouTube, it was on Lana's account. She put up a video about the day in the life of a WWE superstar. On that video, he accidentally revealed his future plans for pro wrestling. And I told Sean about it. And Sean was like, where's the timestamp kind of thing? So Rusev, they were talking about buying a new house, him and Lana. They were saying, maybe it's time to get a new house. Rusev said, well, once I go to Japan. And then he stopped and he looked at the camera and he goes, ah, or whatever I do, like that. So that made it clear to me. And I got to tell you, Rusev, I think, is tailor-made for Japan. When you look at the history of foreign heels and you look at how they tend to like monsters, so they tend to like, say, Bruiser Brody, Stan Hansen, Andre the Giant. These are the kind of foreign heels they like. Rusev fits like a glove, man.
I think he'll get over as a baby face. I think he'll be a gigantic. You think so? I think he'll be a gigantic baby face over there.
And really?
He's tried to kind of follow it up by saying, I'm not wrestling anymore. I'm going to be a Twitch streamer full time. Man, there's too much money on the table. He is going to be a mega star. If I were him, I wouldn't go anywhere but Japan. I would not do Impact. I would not do fucking NWA. I would. Right. Maybe AEW if they're going to let you go real strong. That's it. New Japan. New Japan is where you go for a few years, and you're going to come out the other end a mega star.
Then WWE is going to be clamoring for you then.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And then they get to fuck you up all over again.
But with a bigger guaranteed contract, maybe.
Yeah, but so. Here's one of the – actually, my Air Paris interview that drops this week. Pretty nice thing. I said, hey, man, so you signed your WCW contract, but you didn't get brought in. And he goes, well, here's the thing. We signed new two-year deals, but we only had 30-day guarantees. We had 30-day outs on them. And he was like, and as Jim Cornette's told me in the past, you had a 30-day contract.
Yeah, I mean, not all contracts are structured the same, though. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, you think Brock Lesnar's got a 30-day out in his contract?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
Better not lock me up long term then, Jimmy. I'm the Lesnar Fightful. Here we go.
Oh, boy. That's all I got for you, bud.
We're out.